Hello, hello, and welcome to what is wildly enough to some of you, the last episode of Rooted. For those of you who have been following along with the show since I first launched it in 2018, you've likely noticed that my consistency around it has faded quite a bit this last year. And at first, I just chalked it up to my pregnancy, right? Like the nausea in the beginning, the lack of energy and focus, etc. But I really began to notice a deep shift when I'd sit with my early morning journaling practice and I'd just start writing about how the show really started to feel almost chaotic to me in a way. I felt like I was going in so many different directions, which it's all lovely and great. But for me, the sole purpose of when I began the Rooted podcast, which was formerly the Calm Collective, was to truly help people. I felt like I was doing that for so long, but now I just feel like I've lost my why. Like, life updates are cool. Don't get me wrong. I love chiming into podcast episodes where I'm getting a behind the scenes of, you know, what's going on in someone's life that I admire. But for me, I missed feeling like I was really giving deep value. And that's been making me feel sort of empty, if I'm being honest. This really shone through when I sat down to write a heartfelt newsletter a couple of weeks ago that I titled The Grieving Woman. For those of you who subscribe to the free publication, the free newsletter, you may have read it already. And for those of you who haven't, no worries, because most of what I'm going to talk about today in this series finale episode embodies what that piece entails. Because so much of it resonates with why this chapter of this specific podcast feels good and ready to be closed. Much like what I wrote about, this also feels like honoring the shedding of an old identity. So let's dive into that. For about 13 years now, up until recently, I've been carrying around this identity that feels so insanely heavy. Not necessarily in a bad way, but like just this cloak of identification that I am drowning in, that I am the grieving woman. I am the woman who goes through really hard shit and then opens up freely and vulnerably to talk about it on the internet, whether that is here on the podcast or over on Instagram or even back when I used to blog. And I remember back in 2019, I had a woman approach me at a Cubs game and tell me that my words on grief had helped her so much. And that was the first and only ever time that that's happened to me in public, where I was recognized in public, not just based on looking familiar due to my photos, but recognized because of my messaging. I remember thinking to myself, whoa, like what I'm doing actually matters. It was this hit of euphoria, we'll call it, like I had never experienced before. And so I just kept chasing that. But here's the thing that no one really tells you. With an identity label, in this case, being the person who talks openly and candidly about grief to normalize the stigmas that it comes with, often comes an identity crisis. We're not all meant to stay the same. We are constantly changing, evolving, shifting, some of us more than others. And things that were once the forefront of your life are now, while still like wildly important and crucial as to who you are, have taken the passenger seat and now come more so like in gentle waves in your day to day, or maybe even like bi-weekly, rather than just being this sole focus. And when that version of you begins to fade and you take notice, especially when it's, you know, something like what you've been talking about and holding space for so long, it can feel really jarring and really confusing. And to be completely honest, my soul, myself, feels really ready to let go of the label that came along with being the woman who talks about grief. And it's not even that anyone else gave me that label. I think I unintentionally gave it to myself, and then by putting out the content that I put out and feeling like that's what people wanted to hear, it followed suit and it stuck. But there's so much fear attached to the thought of that release. And I'm going to touch on that in a moment. It's wild, but for the last like 6 or 7 months, I've been able to quite literally feel my subconscious trying to make actual physical space for the new roles within my life that are on the cusp of coming through. Becoming a mother in just one short month, sharing and showing up on the internet in a new way, and just like an invitation from my inner self to let go of old ways of being and thinking, letting go of being pigeonholed, and just allowing myself to be more than just one thing, allowing myself to pursue other things that take up energetic space within my life these days. And I want to explore that thought with you for a minute. I've always, for as long as I can remember, been down to share. I've always been drawn to journaling my thoughts. I've always dreamt of writing a book, and so then I did. I've always loved sharing my advice when asked. I've never been afraid to be super vulnerable, and I'm usually the first one who's like willing to give an impromptu toast at a celebration. For me, just being able to sit down at the microphone and share things that I've gone through and what I've learned on the other side, be it incredibly vulnerable or an innocent hack or strategy that shifted and streamlined my life, just regardless of what it is, I don't have, and I never really have had, any reservations about showing up. To me, speaking our emotions aloud is such an art form, and it's one that feels really authentic to my core. Up until when my life changed forever, the year I lost my dad, the things I had been writing about mostly centered around, you know, just like growing into the woman I was becoming, sometimes visiting old traumas like being bullied by older girls in high school, making questionable decisions in college, and just sharing, you know, just like dreams about my future growing up. But it wasn't until 2010, when my dad was diagnosed with a rare form of brain cancer, that I'd have a complete identity rewire and just this like laser focus on what it actually meant to live a life alongside grief, to be really present in that even when it hurt, which was all the time. And the only way that I was really able to cope and wrap my brain around how drastically my life and the life of my family had just changed with just like one phone call like that was to show up at my computer and share over on my previous blog that I used to have all that was going on inside my mind within this new unfamiliar territory. I was super raw. I was so open. I was entirely honest. And the more that I shared, the more readers reached out. It was actually pretty miraculous for that time because all that was really circulating on blogs was, you know, fashion bloggers where outfits were shared. No one that I really knew of was cracking wide open and talking about the hard stuff. And to me, it felt so freeing. It was scary for sure, but it was freeing. It actually felt like, for me, it felt like surviving. On the days where I wouldn't show up to write and share what I was experiencing, it often felt like I was drowning. And so for the next few years, I'd continue to write vulnerably about, you know, what it felt like to watch your parent lose their autonomy, what it felt like to watch them fight for their life. The experience I had of moving home to help take care of him in my early 20s, you know, all while trying to balance any sort of like a normal life while essentially mortality was sleeping next door. I shared how it felt to live in such deep anxiety that every phone call sent me into a tailspin, and just how deeply complex it was to exist in a world that just kept on rotating, all while feeling like mine was frozen in time, at the worst possible time. And while I knew it was helping other people, I was also starting to realize how much it was actually helping me. I was being reminded again and again that I wasn't alone and that in some ways I was healing myself by putting my thoughts out into the ethers, rather than just collecting them internally like little particles of glass that would inevitably make me bleed out. In all of my years of sharing, I still believe it to be true that by opening up and sharing our internal struggles, whether public or even just with a close friend, you avoid that internal bleed. You give yourself room to process, to feel, and to heal. When my dad passed in 2013, the way that I was sharing took on this whole new level in meaning. It was honestly all I could think about. It became who I was. My grief took over, and I knew that it was either going to kill me if I let it, or it was going to drastically change my life in a profound way if I chose to continue to open up about my experience. I chose the latter, and so I kept writing. I started a blog called The Calm Collective, and just like I had back in 2010 when he was diagnosed, I just wrote about it all. I left no stone unturned, no story was left behind, and nothing was sugar-coated. And because of his death, my mental health, of course, took a radical hit. And actually, simplifying my belongings and just my life as a whole, as well as mindfulness strategies that I was learning through like any book I could get my hands on alongside grief therapy, this quickly became a part of the equation as to how I took on healing. This would become the pinnacle of my personal healing journey. And I found that by changing my environment and eliminating the unessential, this gave me more room to breathe and to process my emotions. Clutter literally made me feel like I was going to drown, and I was already deep underwater to begin with. And this was before like the whole minimalism craze that we hear about now. So alongside my grief and my ache, you know, and how I was processing all of that, I also started to share my tips on how simplicity and mindfulness was helping me integrate even more within my healing journey. Through that, my self-awareness followed suit, and this was what changed everything. I was so intensely self-aware of every emotion that I was feeling. I was so omnipresent with everything I was experiencing, and just began ultimately writing about it all rather than trying to flee from some of the worst, darkest parts. You know, like day by day, my practice within simplicity and mindfulness was helping me more and more develop these coping skills. But no matter how much I felt like I was healing, I always came back to the label that was grief. When I'd open up about lighter things, readers wanted to keep hearing about my struggles. And look, I get it. That makes perfect sense to me. It's like the saying goes, misery loves company. We want to be reminded again and again that we aren't alone. We almost feel panicky when we feel like we're going at it alone. And I think in some ways, I believed that maybe my calling and my purpose in life was to support those who were grieving. And maybe the things that were helping me heal weren't necessarily what people wanted to hear about. They wanted to hear about the trenches. So years later, I started a podcast, which you're listening to now, and began sharing my story in a new way through my voice. I interviewed guests around their own grieving experiences and worked tirelessly to create a safe space where other humans could share their stories and feel held. I even created a gentle grieving course. I had one-on-one consults with people who just needed to be heard and received by someone who got it. And just like that, I was back to my life quickly revolving around grief, plain and simple. I'd try a new thing and record a podcast about, you know, how to stay present, and it would get half the traction. Or I'd interview a guest on how to become your own boss, and that too, it would fall short. People wanted to hear about grief from me. I was hearing them loud and clear. And throughout all of this, my life would keep on spinning and new pain points would occur. My partner of 5 years at the time would cheat and blow up the life we made together, which ultimately was a gift. I'd then meet someone else, and it would be this trauma bonding kind of love that was so deeply complicated. and toxic and consuming, only to lose my identity in that relationship entirely and just be like thrown around like a rag doll. And this too was ultimately a gift, as it always is. I'd move into a loud neighborhood in this bad juju apartment. I'd end up dating all the wrong people. I'd be revisiting past abuse that was no longer willing to be ignored. Facing that head on was just not fun. I'd lose myself and find glimmers of myself again and again and again. And then I'd meet my now husband in 2018, but feel way too ashamed about how damaged and jaded I felt, that it was too much to even really try and entertain the idea of us being together. And I'd then hit the most radical, gnarly rock bottom, have a spiritual awakening, reclaim myself entirely, reunite with Jonathan, and we'd get married a year later. And then we would try for a baby. We would suffer a missed miscarriage, go through IVF for another year with so much heartache, and now, you know, receive the miracle that is our baby girl due this September. That is so much grief packed into 6+ years. That's a lot of turmoil to be unpacked. And that's ultimately what I did. So for 6 years, I just kept writing about grief. For 6 years, I shared my experience and was championed for doing so. And for those 6 years, I held others' hands as they navigated their own. And now here I am. My journey with grief isn't over. That just is not how it works, especially with the loss of my dad. I'll be grieving that loss and, you know, other experiences for the rest of my life. And as I've said here so many times before, grief isn't the cycle that ends. It's the cycle that loops. But for the first time in my life, I don't feel identified by the hard parts of my life. And when you're known for showing up in that way, it can feel really confusing when you're in a lighter place, when other things, different things are wanting to be shared. And I don't want to have to dig up something traumatic to share in order for it to be considered worthy or important. There's so much more to me, so much more to all of us than our traumas, so much more that has been uncovered since my life rapidly changed back in 2010. And here's what has held me up for so long now. I worry. I worry that if I'm not talking about grief, if I'm not talking about pain, if I'm not talking about the hard lessons learned or the sadnesses that I've experienced, who will care? Am I even helping anybody? Am I just another person on the internet making noise? Do people ultimately just want to hear the hard things? And it comes back to the misery loves company notion. We all know this is true, but it isn't the only truth. But I think ultimately for me to come from showing up in a way that deeply mattered and really helped people in their most fragile, heartbreaking moments, to now showcasing, let's say on Instagram, like my day-to-day life and stories that are soft and gentle, it feels like wrong somehow. I feel like I'm breaking the rules because I'm so used to showing up in pain. I'm so used to being validated for showing up in pain. And I think that's the most fucked up part of all of this, is that I started to believe that my happiness and my inner peace, the super impactful lessons and tools that I've learned and gained along the way that could also help and serve others, maybe isn't as worthy of sharing as my darkest, deepest pain points. But wow, I'm just really ready to let go of being the grieving woman, the woman in turmoil, the woman who's always going through something heavy or navigating a deep, murky water with holes in the bottom of her bucket, you know? Because for once, I feel like I'm not. I feel at peace. I feel content with my life, even when it isn't going exactly the way that I had intended. Even on my off days, I'm not living on my knees. And I want to share how that's possible, even after all that I've been through in this short life. I loved this quote from one of my favorite writers, Kay Aarons, as she talks about transition and new beginnings within career. And as I also interpreted it, general life force and change. She says, "I'm in the messy middle of embarking on what feels like a second act of my career. In some ways, this shift feels like a colossal failure. I have worried that I've ruined all I've built in the process. But does sunsetting one thing so you can explore what will follow mean you failed?" The short answer is, of course not. Of course not. It means you've grown. It means you've matured, evolved, transitioned. These things are key pinnacles to living a life well lived. And when we allow ourselves to follow suit to the new sunrises and pay homage to the sunsets of our past selves. And so I'm just feeling really ready, really, really ready to show up as the woman who's, yes, seen some things, but who has learned so much throughout those lived experiences that has ultimately taught me how to live lighter. I want to show up as a human who has a lot of helpful methods to share, who still wants to help people. That is the mission, but who also in the same breath wants to show up gently and reflect back the simple things in life that are making it sweet, and to show you that you can do that too, that your life can be restful and easeful, fun, playful, amidst all that you've been through and are going through. I want to show up proud as a woman who has survived some of the hardest days of her life and who, through some really deep work, healing and soul searching, through a lot of letting go and changing and shifting, has found peace in spite of all of the grief and all of the trauma. As someone who looks at herself at the end of the day and actually truly likes what she sees and is proud of what she sees. And this is worth celebrating, isn't it? Like, to be mentally well, to be happy and healthy after so much ache. And the fact of the matter is that there really are no rules as how to start showing up in a new light. Resistance shows itself, but you just have to decide to move forward. It's almost like walking through deep snow. You pick your knee up until it almost hits your chin. You just keep doing this until you've reached even ground. You trudge. And I feel that by finally sharing myself with you in this way, by sharing this episode with you, that this is where my new chapter begins. So I guess let's consider this final episode of Rooted as my ceremony of sorts for the woman that was, the woman who I'll forever celebrate and be proud of, the grieving woman, I've called her, you know, who believed that showing up in pain was the only way to show up and make an impact. I no longer believe that to be true. And I mean, will I still write about and visit my grief? Of course. Of course. It's a huge part of what's made me into the person that I am. It's a huge part of who I am, but it isn't solely who I am, you know? And by letting Rooted go, I feel like I'm lovingly making room for this new, albeit very familiar, version of me to come through. And this also isn't a means to say that the words and the work that we've done here on the podcast for the past several years and multiple seasons isn't important. On the contrary, I am so proud of every single episode, every single guest that has shared themselves here, and I deeply believe in every single message that lives here on this show. So much so that I have zero intentions of removing it from its platform. But it is time to invest my energy elsewhere. I can't thank you enough, both you as the listener, as well as all of the incredible guests that I've been so lucky to have on Rooted over the years, for just supporting and being a part of this journey, for always supporting my evolution and my shifts and changes as they come. And just what a magical, special chapter this has been, one that I will never forget.